Welcome to episode 21 of Messing About in Ships, May 2nd, 2008. This week I'm joined by a special guest co-host. We have a Stormwatch and, as usual, some pod safe music. Welcome aboard to episode number 21 of Messing About in Ships. I'm Peter Mello from SeaFever.org, and my podcasting partner tonight is Christian Conover from Mass Maritime Academy and ChristianConover.com. Hey, Christian, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Peter?
I'm very good. Christian, we've mentioned you before on the podcast. We kind of highlighted your blog, your sea term experiences, and your Twittering, I think, on Messing About in Ships. But why don't you tell the people a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
Yeah, sounds good. Well, let's see. I live right now, my house is in Annapolis, Maryland. My father's actually a retired Army, so I've lived all over the place. So right now I live in Annapolis, Maryland. But I'm a freshman right now at Massachusetts Maritime Academy. I am a marine transportation major, which means that I'll be going for a unlimited tonnage deck license upon graduation. So that's pretty much it. I know, as you mentioned, the blog that I maintained during sea term, that actually was not originally intended to get nearly the coverage that it did. It just kind of happened that I put it up originally just so that friends and family could see what I was doing on the ship and, you know, kind of get to see what was going on out at sea. And I made a post about a pre-sea term event called Viking Bath, and it got picked up by someone on the MMA Parents Association list, and they posted it to the mailing list for that, and from there it just took off. So that was kind of cool. And actually, I was kind of meaning to ask you how you found it.
That's a good question. How did we find you? I can't remember. It might have been through the Cape Cod Times coverage of Sea Term, and there might have been some way that were you connected to that in any way? Did they refer to you in there?
You know, they may have. I talked a lot with the reporter who was on there, especially going through the Panama Canal for the majority of the trip through. Once we got into Gatun Lake, going from the Atlantic to the Pacific, we ended up being in the same spot on the ship, and we were probably talking on and off for 3 hours. So it very well may be that she mentioned me in one of her articles. I'm not sure.
I have to look back in my notes from the prior podcast to figure out. Maybe I'll be able to figure out how we kind of discovered you. But you know, our interest is trying to find people out there who are exploring in this internet space and that are part of the maritime community, and you certainly fit the bill. So it's pretty exciting to find you. And you know, my partner John Conrad is a Skyla graduate, so we've had some academy graduates. We got one from California and I think some from Maine that listen, so we've had a number of different academy cadets part of the show participating one way or another. So it was great to hitch up with you, and you're not too far from where I am actually sitting. You're only probably about 20 miles maybe from where I'm located in Mattapoisett, Massachusetts. So Buzzards Bay is a home of Mass Maritime. And so how'd you end up in Mass Maritime? What was the process of choosing Mass Maritime?
Well, it's probably not as glamorous as you might hope for in a story. I actually originally applied to the Coast Guard Academy. That was my first choice originally. I found out about that in 8th grade or so, and once I found out about the Coast Guard Academy and learned more about the Coast Guard, I was just dead set on going there. And I was on the waiting list for a while, and eventually was turned down. But around February of 2007, I realized I should probably start doing some looking around for other places. And I stumbled across the Mass Maritime website in doing research. It's funny because my grandfather lives in Falmouth, and I've been coming up here all my life in the summers and, you know, go over the Bourne Bridge. I can see it every time I go over. So I knew it was here, but I never really gave it any thought until I came across the website and decided to look into it a little more. And I applied and was accepted, and I came up to visit right after Memorial Day last year. And once I got to the campus, I definitely decided it was a place I wanted to be at. All the cadets that I saw and talked to seemed pretty happy, and you know, a lot of the ones that I saw, I think, were seniors from last year's class, so they had just finished Coasties, so they were wicked happy because they were about to graduate.
Yeah.
So, but it was I was just really impressed by the campus and by the general atmosphere that the cadets here presented, and that the admissions department presented too. They were very responsive and helpful and answered a lot of questions that I had, which was great. So I just decided this is where I wanted to come.
Very good. What was the first day like when you arrived there?
The first day was, I guess this year they did it a little differently than they had in the past. This year we arrived about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, checked in, went up to our rooms to find where they were, and then we had to change into PT gear. And we could put all our bags down in here. And then they had a little cookout for everyone and their families. And then around, I think, noon or 1 o'clock, then we had to go out into the parking lot by the gym. And we all grouped up, and they had us say goodbye to our parents. And then we walked into the gym. And once we walked through those doors, it was completely different. Suddenly it was, you know, stand up straight at attention, look forward, don't look around, people are yelling. And I had done the summer between my junior and senior year, a week-long summer seminar at the Coast Guard Academy, kind of like an intro to what SWAB summer would have been like.
Okay.
So it was a very similar thing. So I had that sort of an impression to go by initially, which I think helped a lot because I already had a sense of what it might be like. But this was a two-week thing here at Mass Maritime. The first day I didn't think so bad. It was the second day that was the hard part. Because the first day we spent most of it just doing in-processing, getting our bags, getting our uniforms and assigned equipment, and getting into our rooms, and just a lot of administrative stuff. So the first day wasn't so bad, but it was the second day when we woke up at 4:30 in the morning and to the, you know, trash can lids being banged and whistles and screaming and yelling and kicking and on the doors, and it was big loud commotion, and we had to go down to the football field and do PT for an hour, and then, you know, the day went from there. That was probably the toughest part of the entire orientation process in that first 24 hours, I think.
What's the attrition like from the freshman year?
Well, we actually, I don't think, lost too many during orientation. I would have thought that was where we would have lost most of the kids that left, but in actuality, I think we only lost about maybe 5 or 6 from our class during orientation out of a class of initially, I think, about 330. So it's not too bad. But
great.
I think at this point we're down to about 275 in our class, somewhere on there. I think that number's ticking my head. So we've lost a good number of people. Some of them have decided that career-wise it's just not what they want.
Right.
Some of them decided that college experience-wise, they want something a little less strict, and they want to go, I guess, do the partying thing at UMass or whatever, which is, that's what they want.
Sure.
Fantastic. So I think, you know, those are the usual reasons why kids leave. You know, the regiment's just not for them, or they just don't want to be shipping out for the rest of their lives, and that's what they foresee themselves doing if they stay here.
Right. What classes? What are you taking now? What kind of classes you got?
Well, as a second semester freshman, we only take one class related to our major. First semester, everyone takes the same general education courses. But second semester, we've picked our majors at this point, so now we're taking one class relating to our major. The idea behind that being that if we take that class and really then decide we don't want to do that major, it's only one class that we're going to have to make up if we switch. So I'm taking right now, specific to deck courses, I'm taking Coastal Navigation 1. So we're learning how to do chart plotting and working with the charts and Loran plotting, stuff like that. But basically all chart work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also taking basic seamanship because I have a few credits that transferred from high school because of AP courses. So I'm a little ahead. So I actually am taking two deck-related courses. So I'm also in basic seamanship. And we just learned – it's kind of an extension of a class that we took in first semester called vessel familiarization, where we learned some knots and such. And this time we're learning a little bit more specific stuff about the duties of a deck officer, more marlin spike stuff about knots and splicing and basically stuff like that. We actually in my blog last week I posted about the motor whaleboat qualifications we did. One of the things that we have to do in basic seamanship lab is handling the motor whaleboat, so we get a sense of doing proper line handling and small boat handling. We had our qualifications last week on that. Which I think is probably my favorite thing that we've done so far this semester, because we get to be out on the water in the boats, which is why I went deck. So it was a lot of fun.
Good stuff. Well, tell us a little bit about your C-Term experience.
C-Term was fantastic. It's actually, since you've been watching Carrier, that when they show the berthing spaces on the aircraft carrier,
yep,
ours were basically the same. Theirs seem a little bit brighter than ours, just the ambient light. So it was a little dark in the holds, but I think that's just the paint color more than anything. But we have the exact same racks that they do. To give you a good sense of what the berthing spaces are like. But it was awesome. That was my experiences on Sea Timer what made me decide to go deck. I think that the watch standing of all things is that. I really enjoy doing deck watch, especially being up on the bridge. I stood the 12 to 4 watch, so I was up there from noon to 4 and midnight to 4 for 4 days.
Okay.
And the beauty about being on watch when you're on sea term as a freshman is that's your only responsibility. So you get off watch and you can go to bed and sleep till your next watch. Everyone else has got to be up at 7 a.m. doing maintenance or whatever else. And they have musters throughout the day. You just go to watch and go to bed, which was nice. But I really liked being up on the bridge at night. It was quiet. Everyone was going about their business. There was, you got a sense of where the ship was and everything that was going on in the ship. You really got to see what was happening. And I luckily was on watch, and we were still down in the tropical area. So you'd go out there at 2 a.m. on the bridge wing, and it was still awesome. Warm weather. We were out there in short sleeves, and it was comfortable, and you could see stars like you can see them nowhere else. It was really an incredible experience.
What's a typical day aboard the ship during sea term? What happens?
Well,
besides the watches, obviously.
Right. As a freshman, a typical day starts at about 6:30 in the morning. Probably 6 if you decide to go to breakfast. Oftentimes I would skip breakfast because I just wanted some sleep and I would get some food later on in the day. But around 6:30, people start getting up, moving about, getting cleaned up and dressed. We would have morning formation at 7:15, and each division would have it in a different spot on the ship. The entire Corps of Cadets that was on the ship was broken up into 4 divisions, and we just rotated through stations based on division. So at 7:15, we would form up on deck. From there, at about 7:30, we would go to whatever assignment we had that day as a division. So it would either be maintenance, where we'd either be assigned to the deck or engine crew, and we'd be painting and scraping or doing whatever else needed to be done, any odd jobs that they needed completing. We had classes with the licensed majors to get a sense of basic stuff about engineering and deck operations aboard the ship, things that we had not yet covered on shore in first semester in those classes, as well as classes relating to the non-licensed majors so we could get a sense of those, because first semester we don't get any opportunity to really see what those are all about. So they get a chance to present themselves to us on sea term to show us the other non-licensed majors that are available to us. And those last classes and maintenance last till 4 in the afternoon. You get a lunch break around noon. And then after 4 o'clock, you've got a few hours to yourself. Then, depending again on what rotation you're on, you might have cleaning stations at 7, or you might have personal inspections. And after those tasks are over, you're done for the day. The rest of the time is yours to do with as you wish. A lot of people ended up in the mess deck playing cards or watching a movie. That's where a lot of people ended up was they'd either end up in the study lounges within the berthing spaces or mm-hmm. they would end up in the mess deck. Those were pretty common social areas. And it was very relaxed. People were joking around with each other and, you know, just hanging out. And it was cool to see that environment with our classmates that we hadn't really had yet while being at Mass Maritime with classes and whatnot first semester. People just studied, and they might hang out with a few people during the day in their room or whatnot, but the environment on the ship really forces you to just get to know a ton of people that you probably hadn't even really talked to yet while being at school. It was cool. You'd hang out with probably 100 people at a time when you're up in the mess deck at night or in your hold. My hold had 81 people in a space the size of a regular school classroom, maybe a little bigger than a regular school classroom. So it was a tight fit, and you all just hung out and found a way to get along, and usually that wasn't a big deal, and it was pretty cool to see ways that people found to entertain themselves.
What was the total complement aboard?
Including officers, I think we were about 600.
Okay.
There were about 500 cadets and I think about 85 or 90 officers on board the ship.
So all classes are represented on the cruise?
Almost all classes. When all freshmen are required to go on sea term, regardless of major that they're picking. If you go a licensed major, then you'll have to complete two more sea terms with the school and a commercial ship. Mm-hmm. So in sophomore year, you'll do another sea term with the school and the Enterprise. And then junior year, you ship out commercially. And then in senior year, you do your final sea term with the school. If someone missed their sea term in freshman year, then they, you know, obviously then they're behind on it. So oftentimes juniors who are on the cruise are there because they missed their freshman one, so they had to do their freshman cruise as a sophomore, and then they're doing their sophomore cruise as a junior, which means that they'll end up commercially shipping the summer between their junior and senior year. So pretty much all classes are represented, but not necessarily because they're there as their own class.
Okay. What was your favorite port on sea term?
I would probably say Panama. And Aruba was probably a close second. I'd been to Aruba once before, and I love going to Aruba. I love everything about Aruba. But the fact that it was our third port, and it was a lot more expensive than the other ones, kind of limited our ability to do things because, you know, we'd already been to two ports, and us all being college kids, we have limited funding available. Panama was awesome because there was just so much to do there. There was no shortage of things to do. You could do a different thing at any given point in the day for all 3 days you had liberty, and you know you'd be exhausted each day, and you'd have really said you'd done a lot. My friends and I spent a lot of time at the beach in Panama. We went in and checked out the city, which it surprised me. I expected Panama City to be a little more third worldly, but it's really like a more modern city, much more so than I expected. It's a big built up city, a lot of high rises and skyscrapers, and a lot of financial operations down there, which I guess when I thought about it, it made sense considering the, you know, commerce hub that place is.
Right.
But Panama was probably my favorite port.
What'd you think of going through the canal?
That was a really cool experience. It's partly because of the fact that just, you know, it's a very unique maritime place in the world. The proximity of other ships to each other is fascinating to see all the different types of ships. And we went through the Gatun Lake when we were going Atlantic to Pacific. We were in there from, I think, about 10 o'clock till 2 o'clock in the morning. And we were about 20 minutes in, and a friend of mine and I were walking between the midship house and the forward house. It's a pretty tight space. There's only space for about two people across to walk through, and we were looking out off the port side of the ship, and all of a sudden, the silhouette of a massive tanker just went by at about 200 feet off the port side, and it was wild to see that. We'd spent 2 weeks at sea prior to that not seeing anything, so
right.
To suddenly see all this activity around us, it was really cool. And the locks, I mean, it's the line handlers and the people who work at the locks just go about it like they're not even thinking about it. But you know, you look at the size of the ships that they're moving, and it's unbelievable that it even works.
Yeah. Very incredible. So what's on the agenda for this summer? What are you going to be doing over the course of the summer?
Well, I am pretty sure, assuming that I get started on this quickly, I reapplied to the Coast Guard Academy just to see if I could get in, and I am on the waiting list right now, so it's probably not going to be – I probably won't be accepted, but we'll see. Otherwise, I'm going probably to be at Cape May at the Coast Guard boot camp. I'm planning on doing the Coast Guard Reserves, and so I'll be at boot camp this summer for 8 weeks.
Wow.
So the majority of my summer will be spent there. So,
I'm not going to say it sounds like fun, but...
No, but I'm looking forward to it all the same.
Absolutely. It might not be fun, but it sounds good. You've been watching Carrier. What's your impressions of this PBS series, Carrier, Life on the Nimitz?
I'm really enjoying it. I think it's a fantastic series. Just as a side note, just for my own personal, I think it's cool. But my cousin is one of the editors of that show. Which is how I even found out about it in the first place. My grandmother sent an email to my father saying, "Hey, Jay's has this show on PBS about an aircraft carrier. You might want to check it out." So if you see the name Jay Cooper pop up on the screen under editors, that's my cousin.
Be looking for it.
Yeah, I think he actually. I looked today in the opening credits of when I watched the sixth segment of it, the episode six. It was they showed him there, so I thought that was kind of cool. But aside from that, no, I think the show is an awesome show. I'm really enjoying it, and it's really well done, especially the way that they really give equal coverage to the enlisted men and the officers in various departments. I think that's great that they show both sides of it pretty well.
Yeah, definitely. It's been fascinating. You're a techie, geeky guy a bit, right? Tell us a little bit about what your interests are there. Tell us a little bit about your blog and what else you do online. And
I do all sorts of stuff online. I probably spend more time on the computer than I really should.
Don't we all?
Yeah. But I've gotten into blogging actually because of a friend of mine who turned me on to WordPress a few years ago. Actually to use as a site content manager for a website. I had had nothing to do with blogging up until that point, and I was just looking for an easier way than having to hard code every website that I designed. I wanted something that I could just put out quickly to get websites going, and a lot of the existing software that I had found was just way too feature-filled and complex for what I wanted to do. I just wanted to put something up there with some content and be done.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend suggested WordPress to me. I'd never heard of it before, and he sent me a link, and I looked at it, and I said, "Wow, this is exactly what I'm looking for." And I put it up, and I was running a few sites that were getting virtually no traffic, but it was still just basically for me to play around with. And I started looking at the blogging side of it originally, just as more of an idea like, "Hey, someone has a business, maybe they could post news updates," and then I started looking into doing more of a blogging thing. I started reading more blogs, and I got interested in it and said, "Hey, I have some ideas and knowledge that I can share. Why don't I try it out?" And I've had about 3 or 4 different formats to my blog since I started it about 18 months ago. I just couldn't seem to pick one that really worked that I could keep posting topics about. And then I started the one for C-Term, and that took off. It helped that it had a captive audience with the all the parents and folks associated with C-Term back home. But I really enjoyed doing that and being able to share that perspective from the ship. I got a lot of positive response from that. So I figured I'd take my main site and turn it into more of a maritime blog as a result. And I think it's gone pretty well. I get a pretty steady group of people who check in on that. And I enjoy doing it, posting stuff about school, and apparently a lot of the teachers and staff members here still read it, including Ed McGurnan here, the president of the academy. He apparently still reads my blog, which I think is kind of cool.
So everybody's supportive. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's cool. It's gotten me a lot of good connections here at school, too. I've gotten to know some other professors and officers that I probably wouldn't have otherwise gotten to know. So I think there's a lot of benefits from it directly to me as a student here. But more than anything, I just really enjoy posting stuff and writing on the blog.
I think, you know, we've talked about this before on the podcast, John and I have earlier, and I think you do a fantastic job of telling what it's like life at a Maritime Academy, and anybody who's interested, any high school kids who are interested, should be reading your blog and understanding what it's all about. And I think you do a fantastic job with that. And that's, you know, what this social media is all about. It's, you know, you're talking to your community there with the parents during the sea term cruise, but you're also doing a great job of, I think, advancing the school's mission. So it's good to hear that they're supportive. And, you know, I've never seen anything particularly controversial on your blog. I think you represent the school quite well. So just congratulate you on that. I think you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you on that. I really try to make sure that I, you know, whatever I put up is friendly for all ages. And partly I do that because one of the officers here at school back in December, before we even left for sea term, asked me if it would be okay with me for him to publish it officially on the Mass Maritime website as a link, which was fine with me. I thought the more people reading it, the better, because I just wanted to get some traffic on the site. So I was happy to have him post it. And one of the things that he said to me was that he was going to be planning on using it with some of the middle schools in the area that they do relations with, to, you know, get kids at that age maybe interested in what we do and see the other side of college that it can be with being at a maritime academy. And, you know, getting them interested in doing maritime-like stuff. And so he said, you know, obviously by nature of the fact that there's going to be a younger audience involved, you know, we'd appreciate if you could make sure that some of the things that we know go on Sea Time that probably aren't things that little kids should be reading about don't make it to your blog. Because, you know, let's face it, a bunch of college kids suddenly getting to run free for pretty much the first time in their lives, completely independent of their parents in a foreign country, you know, they're gonna take advantage of these freedoms that they suddenly have. I've pretty much just tried to maintain that policy on my blog. It's just to maintain a pretty clean atmosphere, and it still leaves me plenty of things to write about. So I think that it's gone pretty well. I've talked to some kids who are going to be in the in next year's class, incoming freshmen for the class of 2012, and every one of them that I've talked to through Facebook, actually, I've talked to these kids, and the first thing that each one of them has said to me when I, you know, talk to them directly is, "I read your blog on Sea Term. You know, it really was cool to read that, and I still read the one that you have." So I think it's still getting through to a lot of kids who look at the Maritime Academy as a potential place to go.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great job. So I've asked you to pick an internet protocol this week for us. And what do you got? Tell us a little bit about where we're heading and what we're going to find out.
Well, the one that I picked is one called Navigear, navigear.com. It's NAVAGEAR.com. And I like this one because it's, you know, it's about maritime stuff and boating and being on the water. And it also plays to my more tech geeky side, because he talks a lot about gadgets and such that you can have for your boat. And, you know, I like collecting gadgets because I'm that kind of nerd. So I like reading about it. He actually, his latest post, I noticed because it ties into Captain Rodriguez, post to get about the Spot GPS tracker that he's going to be using on his upcoming voyage, I guess starting tomorrow, where people can see where he is, because it'll send GPS locations to his account online. So it's almost kind of like Google Maps meets your onboard GPS, all with a social aspect involved. It's a cool little device, and it's that kind of stuff that he posts about a lot, so I really enjoy reading it. Plus, he'll also post useful information regarding maritime activities. He posted one about there's a new, I guess, a Homeland Security policy about trying to maintain more security with small boats. And, you know, that affects, obviously, anybody who does any sort of recreational boating. So it's a lot of good information that he posts, so I really enjoy reading it.
Well, that's fantastic. I know John Conrad, Captain Conrad, is a big fan of Navigear as well. Well, anyway, you've done a fantastic job in replacing John tonight, and we got one geeky guy, techie guy, replacing another one, because John's you remind me of John a bit. so you fill in perfectly tonight. Anything else
sounds
you want
like
to share?
Excuse anyway.
Yeah, well, we wanted to get you on board here too, so it's exciting to have you here. Anything else you want to share with us, or any thoughts, ideas, anything?
Not too much. I also did think of one other site, which we were talking, that I think would be cool to mention. It's not necessarily directly maritime related. It's a little more of a military thing, but it's a new site that's gone up. I actually had a little part in helping put it together. I worked for the U.S. Naval Institute last summer.
Oh, wow.
Doing web development, and they have a new site that they put out. It's related to a series that they have on PBS, you know, again, tying into the carrier. I'm just tying all sorts of ends together. They're called Americans at War, and it's a series of brief, about 90-second interviews with various members of the armed forces, some pretty prominent folks. They have ones with George H.W. Bush, Senator Webb, Senator Kerry, a bunch of people that, you know, are pretty well known, about their experiences that they had in combat and in, you know, military service. And it's, they're great little vignettes and individual perspectives about being in the military. I think it's a really cool thing to check out if you're at all interested in that sort of stuff.
Great. Americans at War. And
yep. It's I think it's americans-at-war.com or .org, one of the two. But if you go to usni.org, I think they've got a pretty prominent link there.
All right. Well, we'll dig it up, or you'll email it to me, and we'll get it in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, this has been great. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy study schedule. And
not a problem. Happy to do it.
And maybe we can get you in here as a regular from time to time. Tell us what's going on in your life and at school. Maybe even figure out a way this summer to learn a little bit about what you're going through, maybe at boot camp, and or maybe you'll be lucky enough to head your way down to New London there and get into the Coast Guard Academy.
Yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, I'd love to come on here. It's fine. Yeah, shoot me an email whenever.
Great. Great. Well, it's been good talking to you, and look forward to the next time.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to talk to you, too.
This is Robin Storm, and this is Storm Watch for the week of April 28, 2008. There are warnings of gales in Thames, Dover, Plymouth, Bailey, and Southeast Iceland. The general synopsis at 1300. Low Central England, 988. Expected herbides, 996 by 1300 tomorrow, May 1st. Low Bailey, 998. Moving slowly southwest and losing its identity. Tropical storm. Cyclone Nigris was 495 nautical miles south of Calcutta, India. The massive system seems to have stopped in its tracks at this position. This storm has the potential to become a very powerful and dangerous storm. The Joint Tropical Storm Warning Center assesses that the storm could pack maximum sustained wind speeds clocking 95 knots, 175 kilometers per hour, gusting up to 115 knots, 213 kilometers per hour over the next 36 hours. All mariners, take notice. United States. The National Weather Service has verified that three EF tornadoes struck the Suffolk, Virginia area on April 29th, injuring more than 200 people. Once again, make sure your family and loved ones are prepared for the event of dangerous severe weather at home. For further information, log on to www.ready.gov. This has been Robin Storm reporting for Messing About in Ships. Visit Robin Storm at robinstorm.blogspot.com. May the fair winds be with you always. Take him by the hand.
Thanks, Rob. That was great. Stormwatch is always great. We appreciate it. This week's PodSafe music comes from the PodSafe Music Network, and it's from a band called Collective Soul. You might recognize them from the 90s. They had a few hit records. This song is All That I Know, and it's from their most recent album, Afterwards.
Strength I find is when